Okay, so, well, today, first of all, I want to start by introducing Christina's new. We don't know what to call her yet. We don't have a title for
Maybe that
her.
could be the social question of the week.
That's what I think the social question of the week should be. What should Christina? It's basically Chris. She's basically Christina's bitch, and she's gonna be here to like when Christina needs a hand. Like Chrissy, the friend turn is more like my bitch, you know? But yeah, so psyched to have you here, girl. We're calling her B. B is the chicest name. But one fun fact I found out about her when I got here was that her trunk of her car had the word bitch scratched into it when she first bought it, which reminded me of my favorite story. My brother stole somebody's girlfriend, and then the guy carved faggot bitch into the hood of his car, which I'm sorry is to, I think, in my personal opinion, the funniest thing that someone can carve onto your little brother's car because it's so ignorant and crazy and like so indicative of the act of keying someone's car. I want to ask our guest today, Neve Shulman of Catfish. What would be like your biggest nightmare of someone scratching something in your car? What would be the worst thing someone could scratch onto your car?
Well, I would just say initially the scratching of my car itself would probably be enough, which,
To really upset
well,
you.
that's the thing. Like, who cares what they write?
Well, no, because you do have to, yeah.
Right. No, you're right.
A
You
lot
have
of
to,
people care what they're, You know how hard I laughed when my brother and I pulled up to buy a Christmas tree with
Yeah, I don't know what could be.
faggot
I mean, that's at once the best and worst thing someone could write because it's both hilarious
It's
to some
so
degree.
crazy.
Right.
It's such a crazy fucking thing to do. And so high school and just, yeah.
Yeah, I think that, I
Dark
mean,
comedy for sure, but
it's definitely layered.
yeah.
Hard to beat that.
So I want to start out today with a game I made up. Sometimes they make up fun games.
Maybe cunt. That would
Oh,
suck.
cunt,
Because
yeah.
that's like such a just an, like even just people having to see that word makes them like it makes people really uncomfortable.
That would make me. I actually would love if I came out and cunt was scratched into. I like that's like you earn that.
Yeah.
Like you earn. I'd be proud to earn that. That would be like one of probably my greatest accomplishments now that I think about it.
Now I know what to do when I
Because you'd
leave.
really have to
Yeah.
like. That's like ruin someone's credit score, like get their
Right.
house taken away, like their pets are like put in a shelter, like. That's you really do something. I mean, not that I could never do that, but that's like it's like winning an Oscar, I guess.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's definitely a resume worthy
Yeah, definitely. Special
credit.
skills.
Yeah.
Okay, so I made up a game. It's super fun.
Is this a new game
Yeah, it's a new game.
for today?
Yeah, I'm gonna
Okay.
do it with you and then I'm gonna do it with our next guest. We're gonna see how it goes. It might be a nightmare, but I spend a lot of time thinking about things that I'm afraid of and my fears. And I made a list of 50 things.
She did it with me, like just to test it out. And I learned that I have a lot of fears that I never thought about. So
I
Good.
think
Let's
that you
do
can
it.
learn a lot about someone from their fears. And so we're gonna play this game. It's kind of
But
light.
how can you know you're afraid of something if you don't know you're like if by someone asking you a question?
You'll see her
Okay.
questions kind of like bring up a context within that fear
I
where it
see.
would be. Yeah.
Okay, ready?
Mm-hmm.
Game is, do you fear that? Answers, yes or no. Okay. One, deep space.
No.
Two, fire.
No.
Three, food in countries you've never been to.
No.
Four, the dark.
Yeah.
Five, unexpectedly seeing a naked adult.
No.
Six, clowns.
No.
Seven, sleeping alone.
No. I mean, just sleeping in bed by myself?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. Getting caught talking to yourself in the car.
like by someone pulling up to me next to, like, mm-hmm. No, I don't know.
Okay, little person porn.
Again, I've never been exposed to it, but I think I'm okay with it. So no, I do not fear that.
Germs?
No.
Saying a new word out loud for the first time?
Yeah, sure. I mean, in front of people. If I'm not sure how to say it, sure.
Yeah. The idea that you might be the only person
fear,
in your friend.
Fear is a strong word to describe right. that feeling. But okay, yes.
Yeah, there's right. like, you know, dread. Things,
yeah, a little bit
sense
of
sense dread.
Yeah, sure.
The idea that you might be the only person in your friend group who doesn't understand the movie you just saw?
No.
First dates?
No.
Finding out you've been suffering from a severe mental illness your entire life?
No, I would be happy to find out.
Me too.
There was like an answer.
Yeah.
Like,
diagnosis.
Please.
Yeah. I was like, for years, I was like, please just tell me I'm like super autistic or possibly retarded. Like, please just tell, like, that is such a.
Diagnose me.
Yeah. Give it to me. Watching mold grow on nature shows?
No.
What you'll see when you look in the mirror?
Do I fear what I'll see? No.
Lena Dunham success.
Well, I don't know if fear is the right word for that, but there's definitely that her success definitely brings something up.
Feelings, for you.
Yeah, strong feelings.
Want to explore that?
Maybe late after the game.
Okay, cool. We'll talk about it.
Yes, then maybe the answer is yes.
Bubophobia, aka a fear of developing phobias.
No.
Dancing in public.
No.
Singing in public.
Yeah, I guess.
Missing out on events/parties.
Yeah.
Having to go to events/parties.
Sometimes.
The idea that you might be a fraud.
Yes.
That no one would ever romantically love you if your face got burned off with acid.
I've never considered that. I do not fear that.
Mispronouncing someone's name every time you see them and never being corrected.
The humor in that is that's usually what happens to me. So I don't think that's a fear of mine.
Do you hold it against people when they do?
No, because it's spelled wrong. Okay. I mean, my nickname Neve is not spelled phonetically. It's unclear. So it looks like Nev. So I can't blame them for calling me that. But if it's just hilarious because they come up to me like, oh my God, I'm such a huge fan of your show, Nev. And I'm just like, really? Because I say my name in the show as does anyone else. Like, how do you not notice that?
I wonder if like Nev Campbell gets called Neve.
Well, what's fucked up is that she spells her name Neve.
Yeah.
So she took Neve. She took the spelling Neve and left me with, I mean, there's a whole story. I had a line
you
over
got
the
fucked.
E. Well, I had a line over the E, right. A straight line when I was in like first grade and I wrote it. And that was cool
Chic.
For a while.
Yeah.
And then everything moved from handwriting to type to computers, and there was no easy way to type that character, so it just got lost. Now, of course, there is a way, and you can hold the E down, and it gives you an option, but, like, no one knows how to do that.
Right.
So, and it just looks like Nev.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't blame people.
It's okay. Spending a week straight in Times Square?
Yes.
Contracting.
I do it often. It's the worst.
Contracting an STD.
Yeah.
Blindly reaching into a bag of jelly beans and putting one in your mouth without looking at it.
I mean, I've come to terms with that fear. It's, you know, I can deal with it.
Going through TSA.
Well, I'm global entry pre-check, so I'm pretty smooth with that.
I love how.
I mean, I've got my travel game down tight. I mean, I travel a lot, so like I know what shoes I can and can't wear, and what belts will beep, and like I got it down.
Do you have like a packing method?
You're like George Clooney
yeah,
and up
I have
in the
a
air.
Yeah,
base. Yeah, you're, yeah, yeah.
I know exactly how to travel now.
Okay.
So TSA for me is no big whoop.
Oh, okay. I've been sent to pre-check the last three times I fly. Just
well, so
just
I guess
you know.
If I have a fear of TSA, it's for some reason not getting pre-check. I usually leave very little time between when I arrive at the airport and the departure time.
So you don't like to give yourself Hudson News time?
No.
Okay.
I hate Hudson News.
Oh, wow. All right. Well, that's where we really, really differ.
Right.
Because I speak passionately about.
It's nothing. It's just like a store filled with nothing.
Wow. That's actually weird because it's like everything that I want.
The only thing I need from Hudson News is a bottle of water. Maybe a Clouds neck pillow because I like to refresh those.
I bet you blow
frequently.
Through those. Right?
I blow through those.
Yeah.
And maybe
is that your big
occasionally if I'm really like indulging like a candy bar.
Okay. Never a mag?
Never.
Why?
I don't know. I'm not a magazine guy. Why? Anyway, all right, let's keep going.
Okay. Needles.
I don't fear needles, no.
What's in tap water?
No, I love strange drinking water.
Spending a month or more with your family and only your family?
I mean, yeah, I guess that sure.
Sunday nights?
Not anymore.
Okay.
But just because I have no... because
free time.
There's no distinction for me really between what nights what because I don't. My job is not
right.
Monday to Friday. It's just sort of... you're on, you're off, you're on, you're off. So every night's sort of just another night.
Got you. That you have bad...
Except maybe that like everyone... I know everyone's going to be watching certain things. Like Sunday night's TV night, right? And so like... and since I don't really participate in that culture, I always be like, oh God, what am I missing? Is everyone like sitting down with their loved
ones
and friends?
You have TV FOMO on Sunday nights?
I guess so, yeah.
Oh, damn. All right. Interesting that you fear that. Okay, that you have bad body odor or breath and no one knows how to tell you.
I'm already pretty self-conscious about that. Not because I think it... well, I mean, I have body odor like anybody. If I don't take the necessary, you know...
precautions.
Steps
sure.
to keep it under control. So, but yeah, sure, that's something. I mean, I don't... yeah. I don't really care if other people would or wouldn't tell me. I just don't want them to smell me.
Right. Totally.
Because if they can smell it, I can smell it. I know it's there. Yeah.
I find that depressed people are often balmy.
I'm pretty fresh. I just took a shower.
Okay.
Every morning.
Nice. Commitment?
I don't think so.
Becoming homeless?
No.
Change?
No.
Accidentally falling in love with a stripper or sex worker?
No. I mean, if I could fall in love, I don't care who it's with.
Okay. Vomiting?
No.
Bugs?
Yeah, I'm not a... I don't like bugs.
Being fisted?
Yeah. Yeah, for health reasons, yeah.
Unusually good-looking people.
Did you say unusually good-looking people?
Yeah, like really, like exceptionally good-looking people. Specimens.
Yeah, yeah, I think I have a strange sort of intimidation fear of that.
Got it. The dentist?
No, I'm okay with the dentist.
Death?
No.
Knowing what your hot dog is actually made of?
No, I love dirty water dogs.
Crying in public?
Crying in public. I don't know if it's a fear. I'm okay with that.
Being with the girl who's crying in public in a personal setting, not like on the show or something.
Right. Yeah, I think every guy is like afraid of being perceived in some kind of...
totally.
Negative way when they're with a girl who's upset.
Yeah, that'll set a guy off. He doesn't like... yeah, a lot of guys don't like that.
No, it's just like awkward. It's... yeah.
I just don't want people... I mean, whether or not it's deserved or my fault, if it's not, or if it's not something like bad, it just looks bad. Or yeah, that's that. Yeah.
Like what other people think of the situation.
Right.
Because
you
happening.
Know, everyone's like, oh boy, what a dick. You know, like, what a fucking jerk. What did he do? What did he say? He cheated on her.
He's dumping her in
public.
Right,
right.
People cry at brunch all the time.
Brunch,
like, that
yeah.
is the most cried at meal, I think.
Saturday brunch or Sunday brunch?
Sunday brunch.
Because there is a Saturday brunch.
Yeah, yeah, there is.
What? We should talk about that later.
Okay.
Just, but I want to make sure we understand the difference.
No, because I think Sunday is like the accumulation of right, the weekend sure. nights out. Like probably
you're tired, two, you're hungover. Right.
Yeah, two like blowout nights. And on Sunday morning, like some shit was said maybe the night before in a moment of drunkenness. Shouldn't have taken those fireball shots.
Ugh, never should have taken
those. And next thing you know, yeah. Okay, being arrested for a murder that you didn't commit.
Yes.
Heights.
Well, who doesn't? Yeah, I guess so. But I have an interest. I mean, I'm okay with them, but I definitely get like, you know, I don't know, is it vertigo or not yeah, really vertigo? Sure. I get like weak in the knees.
Yeah.
But like panicking. I'll jump out of an airplane. Like I'm okay with that.
Right.
Or like I'll cliff jump. It takes me a minute to like get my guts and wits about me, but I'll do it.
Yeah.
Like into a, you know, water, I'll like jump off.
That's awesome. Yeah. I've always wanted to go skydiving. I like thrills like that. The idea that your worst enemy might be right about you?
No, I don't think about that.
Okay, last one. Birds.
No. Who's afraid of birds?
Oh, lots of people. Lots of people. That's why yeah. the movie was called The
Actually,
Birds.
Actually, I do know someone who
yeah,
is.
Yeah. My friend Bethany in high school like could not deal.
Well, yeah, but the movie Birds could have also been called The Rabbits, and like it could have been about a thousands and thousands of rabbits coming at like anything in organized groups
right.
trying to kill you is scary.
The That's squirrels.
True. Right. I mean, no matter how cute and adorable it is.
Yeah, but I think that, like, you know, that is kind of what, like, Sharknado is about. No one's actually afraid of that.
Wait, what? I didn't see that feature film.
I didn't see it either. I'm just guessing. Yeah. I'm just.
We should brush up because isn't there a second one that came out?
Trying to pick.
There's a third one coming out. I've seen both.
Oh, okay.
It's, yeah.
We should do a Sharknado weekend marathon.
Yeah.
In leading up to the third.
Yeah. That's probably true.
Let's write that down so we don't forget.
Maybe we can make that the Please Advise Challenge of the week. Yeah. And then I also, if you do watch them, I want you to send me an essay.
Okay.
That you wrote. Mm-hmm. That's for everyone, not just you. I want essays. AskPleaseAdvise@gmail.com. Okay, so you are here at a kind of interesting time because you just posted something that...
Right.
I believe you said you feel was kind of like blown out of proportion now
no,
that it's all.
Yeah. No, I'm not really. I mean, for a few minutes, people were sort of theorizing and conjecturing. I just made a sort of vague post on my social media platforms indicating that, like, yeah, I needed to like take some time to heal.
Right.
And like go off the grid and take a break. I needed some help. But like I didn't even consider when I wrote that because I know that I'm not like a drug addict or an alcoholic or like in any kind of health crisis.
Right.
Physical health crisis. So I just didn't even occur to me that would come across as like, oh, Neve's going to rehab.
Right.
Which of course was to some small degree what some people thought. Enough to like I got a Google alert today from like a couple small newspapers, articles, probably, you know, online newspapers.
Right.
Saying like, is Neve Shulman going to rehab? Ooh, you know. Right. Which is kind of good. Like, hey, great. It works for everybody else, right? Rumors and shit.
Totally. Actually, that reminds me, you guys can buy my pre-sale for my ebook, The Alcoholic Bitch Who Ruined Your Life, is going up in a couple of days. It's going to be officially drops on May 12th. And right.
The alternate title for that is Rumors and Shit.
Yeah, Rumors and Shit. Actually, that's not a bad subtitle. I might steal that from you. Subtitle by Neve Shulman. I'll give you credit. But yeah, what led you to like having this like moment? What was like the culmination of it?
I mean, there was definitely like I don't know if it was a moment, but there was sort of a 3-day kind of. I mean, there's years I could go back and just sort of now kind of in looking back see things and understand things. But just this last week, I was sort of presented, or I put myself in a situation with a relative stranger, someone who I had only known for a few days, who sort of became a very quick, sort of new, fast friend. And I was really excited about it. And I think I was also ridiculously projecting that this person could sort of be my next romantic partner.
Right.
And that's somehow I was going to, then, you know, if this was going to be like some magical romance.
Right.
Because of the circumstances that led into it, it was very, you know, we met on Twitter for a few days before, and then she was going to come to the States anyway for a friend's wedding. And so I was like, oh, this is great. Right. Oh, yeah. From Australia. And I was like, oh my God. And because in the days leading up to before we met on Twitter, she had like been thinking about me because she wanted to read my book. And then she saw me in a Catfish marathon. And then like she tweeted about me. And then I immediately like followed her. She's like, whoa, this is crazy. Like somehow that, and because whatever, a lot of weird things seemingly kind of through the universe brought us together. And so I was like, oh, wow, this is great. This is going to be the perfect thing. I've got a week off. She's got this week. Let's do it. And over the course of the three or four days that we spent together, you know, very, very quickly, you know, became clear that it was not going to be any kind of romantic,
right?
You know, sort of dream fantasy.
You know, you just didn't like romance. Get along, or like it was
no,
like-
no, we got along. She was just a lot more sensitive and aware and like honest and direct than I was prepared for.
Got it.
And so despite my best efforts to sweep her off her feet, right, and like totally manipulate the situation into being my kind of dream fantasy week long romance, she very quickly was like, this is not real life. Who are you? You don't really think you can like deal with your, like you've got some weird expectations and issues that I can help you try to understand if you want, but like this isn't going to turn into anything that you like. I don't know what you thought this was going to be, but it's not going to be that.
Okay. That sucks too.
Well,
that
so
can't
sucks.
Be easy to hear.
Right. So that was really hard. And then that, you know, getting sort of rejected, quite frankly, sent me into like a tailspin, because it meant that I had to actually deal with all of the like issues I was having or not dealing with. And so she really like kind of held my hand / like pulled me toward dealing with those things. And it was just, you know, I don't know if you've ever had this, but like to have a relative stranger,
right,
who knows nothing of you or your history and only sort of knows me from my TV show.
Right.
And was a huge fan and really expected me to be this like very happy, wonderful person. Tell you like, whoa, you're actually not that person. I mean, I am to some extent, but then
no,
I
mean,
also have a whole nother side and,
no
and
one,
layers and layers of my, right.
It's actually impossible, I think, to be 100% bare on camera. Like everyone, right. If you know camera's on you, it's impossible.
Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty good at it.
And you are the host of the show.
Right. So. And I think I do a good job of showing more of my emotions and being as real as I can be.
Totally.
But just to have her analyze and sort of reflect back at me what she saw in this brief period of time made it very clear that I'm not paying attention to myself as much as I need to be and struggling more than I'm willing to admit, because, you know, everything is so great, right? I mean, I've got this great TV show and this great career and I'm
right.
busy and I've got new projects I'm developing and, like, I never have to stop and I can keep going and, like, I can do whatever I want all the time, but I'm never actually enjoying it or really sure if it's what I want to be doing. And, you know, I just broke up a few months ago with my girlfriend, and that was a whole crazy long thing that I haven't dealt with. And so I just,
right.
I've got like a backlog of feelings and emotions and issues that I haven't wanted to really look at, that she kind of made me look at. And all of a sudden I just sort of like deflated. I got really sad and realized that like, I can't kind of keep putting this off and running away from this stuff.
Right.
If I do,
I know that moment.
It's only going to get worse, and then I'll really do something bad.
Yeah.
So before it got really bad, I was like, I need a chance. I need to deal with this stuff.
That's great.
Which for me just means like initially sort of chilling out, because I haven't like chilled out. Like I can't even take a yoga class or like lay on the beach for an hour without stressing that I'm not, I should be somewhere else doing something else. Like I just can't.
It's that feeling of being like, I don't know if you felt this way when you were in school, like of being a student where you're like, I could always be studying. Like I'm not still like, every minute that I'm watching TV or like doing something idle, like that pressure, by the way, is like, I experience that. I feel that too. It's hell. Like if I could like rid myself of one thing that I panic about, it would be that, like, because then you can't do more at a certain point because you're panicking about it.
Well, and you can't do anything well if you're just thinking and worrying about the other things you're not doing.
Right.
So even, you know, it just gets in the way of doing anything. And I guess that's just anxiety.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I've never really taken the time to think about it. So that's what I'm doing.
You should get on those Xanadu's, dude. Xanax. It's not a bad idea. Chinese herbs. I take a lot of Chinese herbs. They're really good for anxiety, moving energy. Mm-hmm. I'm being dead serious.
Yeah.
I would suggest you take a trip to Dragon Herbs and talk to them about that, because maybe an herb regimen would be good.
Okay.
Do you do vitamins?
No.
No? Why? You eat all your vitamins?
I think I have a relatively healthy intake of food and...
Well, no, we asked what your fave snacks were, and I was like, dude, this guy eats like a model. Like, what is going on?
You didn't ask me what my favorite snacks are.
Like, it's like, I didn't know. I asked your assistant. But, I mean, this to me is what Gigi Hadid eats. That's super
fresh good. Fruit?
Yeah.
It's not like that's all I eat.
It's not all you eat.
Would you have been happier if I had requested, like, Cheetos and Snickers bars,
large.
I want a milkshake and a burger.
Yeah, no. I mean,
I eat burgers.
Yeah, okay. That is such a Gigi Hadid answer. love that about you. I'm
gonna get some of that fruit now that you got.
I'm a monster.
Okay, I'm dipping my apple in honey.
Okay. I'm still not Jewish. Is it good? What's the appeal of apples and honey?
That's organic honey, by the way. Just really? FYI, yeah.
Christina's a beekeeper in her free time. No, actually, you would have something like that, Christina. Let's
what are these?
Real.
Are these chocolate-covered almonds?
Yeah.
Dark chocolate.
Love it.
Christina, again, was up at dawn. Picking the apples fresh from the orchard. She drove to the Santa Monica Pier to buy my boyfriend cotton candy for an episode.
I couldn't think of a place that would have cotton candy that I could get before noon.
Because he loves
noon.
Cotton candy.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you Googled it?
That was, well, I used to live in the West Side, and I used to walk the Santa Monica Pier a lot. So I knew that they would have someone open at like 6, 7. I mean.
Really?
At,
that early?
No. At like 9, 10. That
you're
would,
fucking
I woke
lying.
Up at
you
6.
Went at like 4.
No.
You're fucking lying. I know you did.
No.
No, that CC was
fresh. It's a good point.
Fresh.
I never really think about it, but like, where do you get cotton candy on the average day?
Yeah, these are the questions that I have to consider as the producer.
And the honey. I feel like this is going to be so sweet.
No, twist.
Oh, twist?
No, just to get it so it doesn't drip, right?
Oh, okay.
Twist. Okay, now you got it. You got it.
All right.
That's your first apple and honey, huh?
Not for me.
Not for you?
No, I just like the apple. Well, not for me.
There are obviously standalone delicious things, but interesting.
Chewing directly into the mic. Probably going to get some letters about that. That's okay. Mouth noises.
Well, thank you guys. You guys did a really good job getting me snacks. Delicious snacks.
Well, we try to make things healthy and accommodating here at Please Advise. And... yeah, but we keep the water room temp.
You set half of your apple slice down?
Yeah, because I wanted to stop making mouth noises into the thing.
Come on, finish it.
I can edit out the mouth noises if necessary.
No, leave them in.
Okay. So, basically, like, you're fine, is what you're saying. You just need to work on some shit.
I'm okay. But... I needed to take time because I was right on the edge. Like I was bursting at the seams and I couldn't, I was having a really hard time controlling my emotions. So I don't think I am suited at this moment to help other people with their emotional issues. I mean, I have more Catfish episodes to film and I want to do my job and I want to help people, but like I'm like,
you are in production on the show right now. So does that mean that you're going to take a production is going to take a break or something?
Yeah, we're going to take a little break.
Okay. That's good.
Yeah.
Max wouldn't go on without you.
No, I think we need our partnership intact for the success of the show.
So you and Max, like, no, you definitely come off as lovers on the show, right?
I'm always surprised to hear that. But yeah, I mean, I know there's plenty of rumors about us.
Yeah. I mean, I know they're not true, but I'm not going to lie. I've vined some glances between the two of you back when I was vining glances, and I was like, kind of loving this extreme.
I mean, there is love there.
Is he your absolute, like, I mean, at this point, is he your best friend?
Definitely.
Yeah. He knows the most about you?
Mm-hmm. I mean, we've spent a lot of time together for the last 3 years.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. We've talked about this on the show before, but you really get to know someone when you travel with them, and that's kind of like a big aspect of being on the Catfish production.
Yeah. I mean, when you eat every meal together. Right. And when you have to, like, wake up at the same time and sit. I mean, we are together all day when we're shooting. I mean, sit in the car. We sit at restaurants. We sit, you know.
You are in a lot of rural places, though. Like, how are you dealing with this road food? Because I would, like, I'd be like, I can't, not to be a snob, but, like, I never want to go to a Cracker Barrel in my life.
I mean, I actually sort of recently wrote a short essay about eating on the road. For a website called Attention, ATTN.com, which is a cool website. I think people would enjoy it. It's an organization, or really it's a media outlet now that specifically trying to engage and inform people our age about important issues, cultural, social, political issues, and break through the noise and just sort of help
Who's
you understand what's going on. Two young guys named Jarrett and Matthew, who are good friends. And anyway, so I do a lot of work with them. And if you care about what's going on in the world and in the country, like, they're a good place to start for information on how you can, like, you know, what you need to know and how you can help.
If you care about the world and what's going on in the country.
Not everybody does.
Yeah, I know that's true.
Anyway, so yeah, eating on the road is tough. Cracker Barrel. Uh-huh. There's always one thing. There's like one thing you can find at almost any restaurant that's doable in terms of if you're trying to eat, you know, a nutritious meal.
Right.
But you have to get really good at no matter what you're ordering, no matter what restaurant. You absolutely always have to say no butter, no cheese. Not to say that I'm like an anti-butter cheese guy. Like, I will eat it in, you know, in moderation. But on the road, no matter how healthy something sounds, if you don't say that, it will come cooked in a pool of butter covered in cheese. Mm-hmm. Like, things that you wouldn't even imagine could have those things on them. Like, oh yeah, I'll have the steamed broccoli.
Right.
And then it comes in a bowl, and on the at the bottom of the bowl is like a puddle of greasy cheese.
Totally.
Oily cheese. And then on top is like Parmesan. Like, just, that's not on the menu. It doesn't say that it's covered in cheese, but sure, but everything is, right? I mean, don't you want cheese on everything?
Okay, but here's the cue. Were you always this health conscious, or do you think that you, because this is like, I'm noticing just
But as I got older. As I
Gigi
became
Hadid.
Right, as I got a little bit more mature, and for sure moving to California makes a huge difference. And I had a girlfriend who was very health conscious.
Totally.
Like, yeah, I don't want to. Yeah, I want to put good fuel into my body.
Okay. I think also as you get older, your body just can't process things the way that
I can still get away with eating whatever I want, but like, I know that when I eat good food, I feel good and right. I think better.
Okay.
And if I'm eating a gross, heavy, you know, cheesy meal, like I need 2 or 3 hours after that to chill out because my body is like in shutdown mode.
Yeah.
Like I don't like my your body needs to use so much energy to process unhealthy things. So rather than feeling energized and like good after eating, your body is like diverting energy away from all your vital organs totally. To like help your stomach process the shit you just put inside of it.
I try to only buy vegetables when I go to the grocery store, like for food.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm like, if I cook them and have them around, like then bok I'll
choy?
Eat them.
I bet you like bok choy.
I don't. I don't really like know about it enough.
I don't really either, yeah.
I do a lot of Brussels sprouts.
Ooh, yeah. But yeah. That's another one. You order Brussels sprouts at almost any restaurant in America right now.
Bacon.
And it's coming with bacon, and it's going to be fried, and it's going to probably have cheese on it or in it. It's like, right. Whatever happened to just tasting the deliciousness of food without right. having to like cheat by like, yeah, you can make something delicious and guarantee pleased customers if you soak it in bacon fat and like cover it in cheese.
Right.
But like who wins in the end?
And you also, I mean, I think that some most people don't go out to eat as much as you do.
That's also true, so, right? That's
they
true.
Like go, you know, they go.
People cook more.
But yeah.
Or let's just be honest, eat more cereal.
Dude, do you, I'm so like gel that you get to be out in real America. Like some of the places that you go, like never in my life, like will I be in some fucking random ass farm town.
Right, no.
With like, I mean, like some of the places you go are bleak. And by the way, want to point out, the catfish never answers the first door. Never, right? They always come. It's always the second door. Like they come out some side door.
There was definitely. I think it was mostly season two.
Yeah,
where we were, and this wasn't like something that I was part of.
Right.
But there was definitely, I think, a number of episodes where the producers were like, "That's the door."
Right.
Because I don't know. I mean, I you know, it's like, okay, this is the house. But occasionally they'd be like, "Hey, I think." It's better, whether it's because we don't want to be standing on the sidewalk because it's like a busy street and it's noisy or like, so they would send me to a specific door to knock on. And then of course it would, and I don't know if they were doing it on purpose or not
right.
because it's dramatic.
No,
but then
look,
of course it would turn out to be the
a
other
shit
door. Right.
If how manufactured that is, I don't care. I don't care if you have spent the last 5 days partying with the person who's on the other end of that door. I eat that shit up because same thing with Real Housewives. Like those bitches don't hang out. Like
right.
what? Like I get it. But I like those. I think I was telling you earlier, I think they are some of the most important modern romance stories that are being shown. And even though they aren't always successful, I kind of, you know, I don't like movies with happy ends that much, you know? And like, and then it's, you know, sometimes they feel like bummed out when like they have a conversation and they come to like a healing place. Like, I'm like, no, I would be fucking pissed. I would never see that person again.
Yeah. Did you intentionally abbreviate endings to happy ends?
Yeah.
You did. That was a choice.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, yeah. Sometimes I block out when I talk, too.
I agree with you that the stories on Catfish are a really sort of necessary exploration of what romance has become. Because while there's still a huge swath of the population going on blind dates and meeting people
right.
in bars, like more and more, and at this point, probably the majority of people are meeting on the internet. And there's a whole new language and there's a whole new set of expectations and rules about what that looks like.
Yeah.
And what's so interesting is like, that's what I've been doing for the past 4 years. And yet, last week, I met a girl on Twitter who I mentioned before.
Right.
And though she's verified and we texted and then Skyped right away, like in the 3 days before or 4 days before like I met her in person, I am completely guilty of feeling that sort of intense, exciting attraction that I think you can only get through an internet relationship because she's far away. she's this sort of mysterious person, and yet I can like sit on my phone and look at pictures of her, and I can read things about her, and I can watch videos of her, and I feel like I'm getting this very intense, intimate exchange,
right.
Even, you know, just because she's texting me, just because I'm consuming her, you know what I mean? I'm like watching the Tully show right now,
right?
Even though she doesn't necessarily know it. Like that's the trouble, is that you can, you know, whereas you had to go on dates before to actually spend time with someone and get to know them, now you just Google search their name and you can spend hours and hours like obsessing over them.
Totally.
And developing.
I don't Google people. Is that rude?
You don't Google people?
I think I like feel like it's invasive.
Well,
like,
that's interesting. I mean, that's a whole nother discussion. Like, yeah. Is it or isn't it?
I mean, I personally, like, I don't even like to listen to the calls before we hear them because I like to have genuine, like, reactions to things.
Well, I'm the same way
on the
show. I
feel cheated of it. Plus, like, also, yeah. And also, like, you know, you're like, when is Googling someone ever led to anything fucking good?
No, I agree. And yeah, I agree.
I just like, I feel like I've been burned by it like too many times. So I can't even go there.
Well, if people but Google you,
I mean, you do
that
for a living.
What happens when people Google you?
I feel that they see probably a lot of stuff that I'm okay is out there. Like, but I've been writing personally on the internet since I was 11 years old. I've been blogging for 20 years. So I like, there's a lot of stuff that I'm like, ugh, God, being young is like so tragic. Like what is more tragic and embarrassing than like, being alive sometimes. Like, so there's a little bit of that, but like, yeah, I just, and also, I don't know, not into it.
Yeah. Well, you didn't used to be able to conveniently search someone and learn all about their history and past experiences and relationships. You had to just talk to them about it.
Right.
So I think people are talking less, you know, or in any kind of meaningful way.
Yeah.
In place of extremely high volume communication in a very insignificant way,
mm-hmm. Have you
which
had any
which
Tinder?
Creates a very a false sense of intimacy and very quickly too.
Right, absolutely.
Right.
No, absolutely. That's the whole. I mean, I was obsessed with chat rooms and message boards for years, and like felt like I knew those people that would regularly show up to the same. And it's not
right
real. I definitely think that I was. I have a guy that's been reading my blog since I was like 20, and his email handle is Torch Anderson. And for like 11 years, I believed that his real name was Torch Anderson until I said it out loud to one of my friends. And I was like, oh yeah, that guy Torch Anderson emailed me something about like Amanda Knox. And she was like, wait, do you think his real name is Torch Anderson? And I was like, like, yeah, why wouldn't it be?
Well, maybe Anderson, but the Torch part, I think, is...
No, like, I mean, for most people, that would be a dead giveaway, but I just, I assume everyone's telling the truth all the time. Like, I was raised to believe it's wrong to lie, so I'm shocked when people do it.
Did you see the episode where we were investigating a girl whose name on Facebook was like, it was like Sarah Nonaya? That, at least that's what me and Max thought because we're so naive. But we were saying her last name wrong, which was Nunya.
Uh-huh.
Which apparently is a word that people use online, like Nunya Business.
Uh-huh.
And so the whole time we were like, who is this Nonaya chick? And then, of course, we understood that it was Nunya. But, like, you're right. No one uses their real names necessarily. And we're naive to think that they do.
I had to have seen that. I watch everyone. I'm addicted. It's like, it's my, I don't believe in guilty pleasures, but
right.
It's the closest to one that I probably have.
But why?
I do
why?
Know,
why shouldn't it just be something that you love?
Yeah, that's the thing is that I think
or
that.
Or do you watch it like in an unhealthy way?
I feel that way about, I feel genuine love for like Real Housewives, but it's at the same time, it's like, I know it's not.
Well, that show is bad for you.
Yeah,
You should feel bad about that.
There's moves being made on Catfish. That is true. But Lisa Rinna threw a wine glass at Kim Richards and lunged at her like she was going to choke her. So I don't know if that means anything to you. But
I have a friend who's filming the Real Housewives of Orange County right now.
Oh. Like he's working on the crew or he's a...
It's a woman who's a Real Housewife.
Oh, Chic. That's one of the, my mom loves Oz. I've never done that.
I've never
one.
Even seen the show, but.
How do you
But know? I'm a big fan of Andy Cohen.
B loves it. Oh, yeah. I think Andy Cohen's a genius. I want to go to Watch What Happens Live, like, more than I want to live another month of my life.
I've been on that show as a guest twice.
Oh, wow. Super jolly. Who were you with?
One time I was on with, I'm probably not going to remember his name, but if I describe him awkwardly enough for a period of time, I guess let's see who can get him first. He's very handsome. I think he's got blue eyes, dark hair. I can't remember if he was on like a vampire show, but he's like a big heartthrob.
Ian Somerhalder?
Yep, you got it.
Okay.
So yeah, Ian Somerhalder. And then you guys will help me with this one, like, next one too. She was a former model who wrote a book or two about like the Hamptons or something. And she may have even been a real housewife at one point, but it doesn't matter. Yeah. Who wrote a book called like the Hamptons or something, or some Hamptons book. Anyway. But yeah, I'm a big fan.
Well, I'm not going to spend the rest of my day wondering about that now.
I'm Googling it.
Okay, Christina's Googling it.
Or if you just search Neve. Okay.
This is so hypocritical of me because I just said that I don't like to Google.
But you're not Googling.
I guess that's true.
You're staring true to
That's like having someone else.
Kelly Bensimone.
Yeah.
Oh my God, chic. Was she nuts?
We got along great.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Any romantic vibes? What's my description?
I thought it might have been her, but I wasn't completely sure. I didn't know whether she had written a book or anything. But yeah.
Were there romantic vibes with you and Kelly Bensimone? Oh, there were. Interesting. Okay.
Yeah,
did you guys do it?
I think she's married.
Oh, okay. No, she's not. She's divorced from photographer Jill Bensimone.
Right.
So you were a photographer. That's how this whole fucking thing started, yeah. Right?
I was.
You were photographing dance, which is like, I think, is not something I would expect. I mean, I guess people photograph dance. Like, right.
That was my thing for a long time.
That would never occur to me. Why dance?
I grew up dancing.
Okay.
You know, in a serious way, but not in any kind of like professionally trained official way. Like I danced as part of sort of a youth troupe, performing and, you know, practicing and really doing it, but not, I was never like formally trained.
Right.
Was it like modern dance, hip hop dancing?
It was a sort of a mishmash. It was like hip hop, modern jazz, sort of a little bit of ballroom.
I took modern dance as a child. I did.
Yeah.
For many years. Continue.
Anyway, and then I, through a series of events, mostly as a result of my father, got introduced to the world as a college student, got introduced to the world of contemporary ballet through New York City Ballet.
Hey. Look who it is. It's Nick the roommate.
Hey. Nick the roommate.
This is Neve. So you started out life as a dancer.
I got really into contemporary ballet as a sort of spectator. And I was introduced to a lot of the dancers who at that time were, you know, we were all sort of the same age, 19, 20 years old. And I was so blown away by their talent and the fact that they all had these amazing careers as world-class performers living in New York City and, you know, going to work every morning, and then at the end of the day, like performing at Lincoln Center. It's just like this. It's just such an amazing job, and with an orchestra and the costumes, and it's just like, wow, how cool to do that. And so basically, I was just like, I want to be a part of that, however I can. And at the time, I was running a small production company doing mostly like wedding and bar mitzvah documentaries and photography. And so I just said to them, I want to help. Let me know. I'll take pictures. I'll make videos. I'll film rehearsals, like whatever. Mm-hmm. And so I just started hanging out with them and taking pictures and making short films. And ended up getting some jobs, and we made a big, an amazing film project with New York City Ballet that for PBS, and like we, you know, turned into a whole thing, which of course then turned into a newspaper printing one of my photos, which led me to Catfish,
yep.
And like so it all kind of snowballed.
Okay, so I've always been very much of the opinion that I don't care how much of the movie was exactly how we saw it. A lot of, like, you know, a lot of people, I don't know. I think you guys have made some acknowledgement of what was real and what was brought in after, in a way, right?
Well, technically, no, because there's no acknowledgement of anything other than, like, the movie is a totally accurate representation, with the exception of all the things we just didn't have time to put in the movie.
Right.
Of what happened. There was no post event like filling in. We didn't go back and manipulate or shoot or recreate anything.
Why do you think so many people question that?
Because it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
That this thing happened to me, and that I happened to share an office with filmmakers who were intuitive enough to start filming it.
Right.
Who were then able to artfully craft my story into an exceptional documentary film and pair it with the right producers to get it into Sundance and have it get sold. Like, a zillion things had to happen in perfect sequence for that to work out that you could never predict or try.
Totally.
And so, like, yeah, I get it. Like, it's a hard story to believe, but it doesn't really even matter if you do or not. Like, people who are wrapped up in wondering if it's real or not are missing the point.
Right. How mentally ill is Angela?
I have no idea.
You have no idea. Like, was that a concern for you in, like, maybe showing her who she is? Because she's clearly, for herself?
Yeah. Oh, for sure. I mean, this is a woman who is is highly functional, takes care of, you know, an entire family.
Yeah.
In an extreme case, takes care of, you know, at the time, two children who were required full-time, 24-hour, like, right. You know, live-in nurse help. And at the same time, managed to creatively explore and develop herself as an artist and take on sort of roles of her subconscious. I mean, like, I'm not sure if it's the healthiest way that she could have dealt with whatever she needed to deal with, but, like, I don't, aside from maybe having a slight, I'm blanking on the word, but like maybe she's a good liar. Like, she's comfortable lying, but I can't speak to any
diagnosis. Sort
of, yeah. Mental or, you know, anything like that.
Loved her braid, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, probs.
I mean, I think if there's one thing I can say about Angela, it's like she's too smart for her own good. Like, she's like a caged beast. You know, like, you can't.
I think you said that to her in the movie. You were like, you have like an actual skill. Like, why don't you use this for something of value that's not fucking with people? But I was so psyched when I saw it. My friend had a screener of it and brought it over, and had no idea what it was about. And I mean, I had friends who this had happened to. I continue to have friends who this happens to. People fall for this shit all the time, and I had never seen anyone address this topic at all. And then to see it be unfold the way that it did, I mean, I just think it's like a super important story that needs to be out there. Like, and now it's obviously it's gone so far.
Yeah. Well, and it's still happening.
No, there's no end to it.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of felt like, well, I'll make a show about it and show people how to avoid it, and we'll be talking about it so it won't happen as much. And yet, every day, you know, hundreds and hundreds of people are turning to these vague, unclear, sort of mysterious relationships to give them some sense of hope and meaning. And without even knowing it, they're falling, you know, in love with people who give very little to no proof of who they are.
Right.
And
they are people just dying to believe. Do you think that's what it is? They just want it.
Yeah. Everyone wants to find their soulmate.
Right.
If we want to use that as a segue.
We do have a question about soulmates. Yeah. Do you want to read that letter?
Sure.
You guys, BT Dubs, want to throw out that we're not sponsored by Nature Box, but I want to be sponsored by Nature Box, but we'll never be sponsored by Nature Box unless they start to see a lot of traffic coming through. So as I've asked you, please go to naturebox.com/pleaseadvise, PLZ.
Can you do that?
And hit refresh as many times as you can.
Oh.
So that they'll start to see that hits are coming in to this one search
but
word.
What does it go to when you...
A 404 right. error. But
you think they'll still see that?
That shit gets banked, especially... Yeah. I mean, one girl told me that she refreshed like 100 times in a day. Someone's got to pick up on that out in data, especially NatureBox, a young company.
Right.
That's
really... Why not just get in touch with them?
Because I like to be a little bit more terroristic than that.
Right. Okay. Yeah. You prefer to use.
I want to be creative. I want, you know, hashtag Mall's Army to rise up and make this happen for me. You guys, I have a surprise for you. My friends at Gorgeous Cosmetics reached out to me and they want to send one of our listeners a prize pack that's retailed at over $250. You will be custom shade matched for your foundation. Their foundation is the bomb and they've got all sorts of colors. So pretty much anyone will, this will work for pretty much anybody. Maybe all people. I don't know. I don't like blanket statements, but I'm guessing that you probably will be able to find a match. It's pretty easy to qualify. All you have to do is repost the photo on our Instagram. That's at Please Advise of the makeup. And then you need to follow, Please Advise, you got to be following us. You got to follow Gorgeous Cosmetics Official, at Gorgeous Cosmetics Official on Instagram, and hashtag Gorgeous Please. That's Gorgeous PLZ. Jackson, our social media rebel, is going to pick one of you at random, and we're going to run this contest through 17th of April. So good luck. Repost. Get free makeup. It's bomb makeup. And excited for you guys.
All right, so this is an email. Yeah. Hey, everyone. Do you believe in soulmates? That you have someone that is your other half but may have been separated from you intentionally by the spiritual world? Feeling so in tune and connected in a way that is hard to comprehend because you don't need words and or you have never met before. Being pushed to your limits because that person knows you so well. Things such as locations, age, difference, or language barriers keeping you apart. Coincidences in certain dates, locations, names. Having bizarre similarities in thoughts. I do believe in soulmates, and I have one. We are engaged now, but I have to make the move from Australia to America to be with him. Just wondering if you personally believe it is a real spiritual phenomenon. It's crazy that's the message you just had me read because
I literally was just putting that together at the very end and I was like
because in addition to my recent weird sort of false soulmate prediction
right.
with this amazing woman from Australia who's hopefully just now going to be a friend
right
she's a really smart sort of TV personality and pitched a show to me about exactly this. She was like, I want to make a show about people who are like star-crossed lovers who for whatever reason, like Romeo and Juliet, like
right.
can't be together for whatever reason. And one of them was like, maybe they live far away and what would happen if they actually were together? Like, would it work out? Like, can you kind of, what's it called? Like, beat the odds or like against all odds? Like,
right. I love that.
And, yeah. Yeah, it's a good idea.
Yeah, I do believe in soulmates. I do. I like there's in the symposium, there's.
That's interesting. Sorry.
Go ahead.
Soulmates. Are you saying it in regards to like lots of people having a soulmate or do you believe in soulmates?
Like, I mean, like I consider both my boyfriend and my best friend a soulmate.
Okay.
So
if it doesn't work out with this boyfriend, do you believe there could be another soulmate boyfriend?
I mean, yeah.
Can you only have one?
Does that mean that like negates his title as your soulmate and that he wasn't really your soulmate?
No, I think that he will always, because of the timing of the way that things worked out for us. And like, I just do believe that there there was like a hand over our relationship that like brought us together at exactly the right time. And that is, I think, a big thing too. It's, I believe that you can have a soulmate, but the timing with them can be wrong. Which
what
might
about,
be.
What about trollmate? I just came up with that. Do you believe in trollmates?
Like internet trolls that you mm-hmm. I really love.
Mm-hmm.
I do believe in that, actually. I love my trolls. I don't have many trolls. I actually am, I think, neutral enough. Or people get my shtick enough by now that
we should start a hashtag for Nick Kroll. He should have Krollmates. That should be his fan army.
I love Nick Kroll. Yeah, I think we should do that. Krollmates. That's a good one. I love
What about just someone you like to walk with? Like someone you're really good at walking with.
Strollmates.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you've had a few run-ins with the law mm-hmm. and your parole officer is someone you really care about, mm-hmm. that could be your parole mate.
This is a fun game you're doing. Is this something that you do a lot?
This is what Max and I do all day long. We sit in the car, drive, because you see us driving to and from places, but 20 or 30 minutes of the car rides cut out because we're only talking about something relevant for those 2 minutes.
And I respect that because it's as intellectual as you can get while still making no sense.
Right.
And whereas I like all I want to talk about most of the time is like reality TV, Pretty Little Liars, like how upset I am at Pretty Little Liars right now.
Yeah, I do this a lot. I think I like someone will make a joke or there'll be a clever pun that comes up, and then like immediately me and Max we go into very serious like think mode where it's like, okay, what else can we do? How can we shake this? How can we run with this? And then my head goes into, like, what's the next step? You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Like, so rather than just saying, the like, finding funny things, like, I want to set it up and I want to, like, layer it and I want to come up with something that makes it more than just a pun, but, like, a little story.
Right.
You know, like, did you guys ever hear about those? There's a beautiful story about two people from somewhere in maybe Pennsylvania or like somewhere in the sort of Northeast, that these two people, they were guys who had grown up together in this small town and they were always best friends. And then they got jobs working in a coal mine and
they're coal mates. Yeah.
Oh my God.
And they fell in love.
I think I hate you. No, I don't. Do you want to know what it is? I'm intimidated by this game. Because my idea of a fun time is starting a long, elaborate story about how Christina breastfeeds her houseplants.
Really?
And, yeah, and it can go off on that for a solid 15, 20. Have before, too. But her houseplant grows like crazy. Like, she's definitely – I'm saying there's some extra nutrients in the mix. I don't know if you're lactating.
Urine?
If you can take a pill to make yourself do that. But I think that –
and aids in photosynthesis, yes.
Oh, yeah. So.
Oh, I got one more. I just got one more. And I think you'll appreciate this. Maybe this is the one. This is the one for you, Malls.
Give it to me.
Who's the person in your life that, like, no matter where you are, what's happening, like, when you're with them, you're always laughing?
Derek.
So he's your LOL mate.
Yeah.
We've completely this. We need to steer this ship.
Yeah.
Come on, Malls.
What do you mean? This is what we do on the pod. We bullshit. Okay. So, do you want to take a phone call?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay.
Hi. So my name is Dorian, and my question is, where can I get money to pursue my career as a filmmaker? Thanks.
So, well, I couldn't hear her name. Did you catch it?
It's like
Joy-Ann.
Right. Yeah.
Well, I think before you pursue a career in filmmaking, you need to get some sleep.
Yeah.
Because she sounded very tired, mm-hmm. right?
V sleepy.
Yeah, V. And then after that, I don't think you can't find money. I mean not to be too technical about it, but like the only way that I know to success in filmmaking, which I've seen now from my own experience and the experience of my friends, many of whom are successful filmmakers, is to just start making stuff. Like, even if you have to shoot your first film on your cell phone and edit it on your cell phone in iMovie, which costs like $4, I think, in the App Store, like, you can make a movie on your phone. And the crazy thing, and this is what I can speak to from experience, is like, nobody really cares what movies look like if it's good. I mean, if it's a good idea and it's put together artistically with care and thought, it can look like shit. More importantly, audio is far more relevant. Like, if you can't hear what's happening, like, then people can't deal with it. But just make something, and then you'll have something. You need to give yourself some experience. So make some short films, even if it's on your phone. Find other people who want to make short films too. Put together a little group of people so that you're not by yourself. And then once you've got a little experience and you've got something to show, you know, there's Kickstarter, which I know a lot of people who are using that and like doing it successfully.
Yeah.
So that's one place you can sort of get
free money. That was the first thing that came to mind for me.
But I think like the first and only way to really start a film career is to just start making films, which now is easier than ever. And don't go for some big elaborate, like, don't try to raise money to make your first film. Like, your first film should cost nothing.
Right.
And you should, like, ask your friends to shoot in their apartment, and you should, like, borrow someone's car, and you should find some cool free locations around your town or wherever you live.
Like, I've, like, done everything I've ever done for free.
Yeah.
Like,
And, if you put up a flyer in a coffee shop, like, hey, I'm, like, trying to make a short film, looking for people to work with me on it, like, people will, there are other people who want to make short films, too.
Absolutely.
So, aside from, you know,
Craigslist,
working the streets, I think Craigslist.
You know what I would do?
What?
I would sell crack like Jay-Z did to get his career.
That's true.
I would, start to push a lot of weight. Is that the expression?
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I push some weight. Or I have a friend who made an independent film that was, you know, like bought and shown in theaters. And he made that film with money he made selling weed. So you might want to just, like, you can do it, you know, the way that has integrity, but then you can also do those other things too, which I think is important to.
Right. I mean, no one cares how you succeed. Just succeed.
You could suck your way to that budget.
Right. No, I'm not judging you. Whatever you have to do. But I think before the first thing you need to start your career in filmmaking is not money.
Girl, you can suck your way to Sundance.
Yeah.
No, that should be my next ebook.
Suck your way to success.
Yeah. I could be like Dr. Laura, like, where I can tell sometimes that she doesn't really know what she's talking about. Like, but I could guess, I think, how you could.
Since we're on the sort of topic of somewhat inappropriate sexual conduct, I had an experience.
It's a judgment on sex worker.
Just this morning, that I think I need to talk about.
What?
So I took a an exercise class at Crunch Gym. I've never been there. A friend of mine invited me to go with her to take an exercise class, and I'm trying to clear my head and like see friends and talk to people. So I was like, great, that's just what I need because I don't want to mope around all day. And I went to the class, and then afterwards I went, we said goodbye, and I went to the men's locker room to shower and get ready to come here. And I had a little time, so I went into the steam room. And as I was kind of walking in, there was one guy inside who was leaving, so I was in there by myself for a minute. And then another guy came in and sat down. I mean, it's not like the steam rooms aren't big.
Fully naked.
I had a towel around my waist, as did he. Both of us towels around our waist. And I was sitting on there's usually like one or two tiers in a steam room. So there's like the lower bench and then there's the hopper bench. So I had sat on the upper bench because it's hotter. The higher up you are in a steam room, the hotter it is. So I had sat on the upper bench and the guy sat down kind of opposite me, like it's a corner. So I was on one side of the L of benches and he was sort of on the other. He sat on the lower one. And right away I noticed that, like, he was looking in my direction. And the more I sort of noticed, the more it became clear that he was looking at my, like, crotch
region. He was cruising you.
Yeah. Okay. And I was like, no, this is kind of weird, like, but whatever. I'm not going to be in here that long. But then he started like very obviously touching himself.
Right.
And I was, and I.
Wait, what? Come on. I need more of a description than that. How
well,
is
so
it
he
very
was like
obvious?
Leaning forward, like with his elbows on his, on his, on his thighs. And his right, one of his arms, I don't know if his right or left arm, had like, you know, was bent back towards his penis.
Right.
And like very clear to me that he was like working towards arousing himself. And I thought like, wow, this is happening. Like I've never, I guess in like.
How old is he?
He was, I think, at least in his late 30s, maybe early 40s.
Were you attracted to him?
No.
I had to try.
And so I was thinking to myself, like, okay, how long do I stay in here? And should I say something? And then somebody came, the door opened, someone else started walking in. So like, okay, great. I'll just like, I'm leaving. But I feel like
that
I.
That makes
like,
you look guilty.
Well, no, oh, I don't even care about that. I'm just curious. Like, I wanted to say something. Like, I wanted to confront him and be like, dude, are you fucking serious? Like,
right.
I don't give a shit what you want to do. Like, good. Like, if, like, find God, find whatever makes you happy. But, like, how just inappropriate and disgusting that you would do that. I mean, maybe I'm in like a West Hollywood crunch and that's just like what's expected. I don't know. But like, weird. I mean, that doesn't happen in women's locker rooms, does it?
I'm trying to, well, no, but there were some.
I mean, is it just because guys are fucking
animal? There was a lot of lingering in the Burke Williams dressing room recently, locker room. I thought there was a lot of lingering that I was like, what? Like, you're a little too comfortable being naked in here right now.
But I just couldn't believe that it really happened to me.
I'm really.
I mean, I'm not like traumatized in any significant way, but I was like, wow, that's so weird.
I'm pretty torn on this issue, like as if whether or not I'm surprised by it, because I feel like men are scary and kind of perverts in a lot of ways. Many men can be. So, like, right. I don't know if it
was. I guess that maybe it's the first time I've felt, like.
Violated.
Sexually. I mean, and I'm fine. But I can't. I mean, I guess if, as part of a discussion here with three ladies, like, does that. I mean, I guess I can sort of now just begin to sort of speak to how awkward it must be for you on a much more regular basis to just have like guys looking at you and thinking about that sort of thing and saying inappropriate things and doing inappropriate things all the time.
I'm pretty oblivious, so I don't notice if that ever happening, but I know that people with normal brains will appreciate that sentiment a lot.
I think it's also like, I am from New York City, so yeah, I experience same. That a lot. Because you're just around more people in proximity relations. So, like, I've definitely been groped. I've definitely, like, been flashed. But, yeah, it's
can I ask,
fun to
can
have
we,
to deal
can
with.
Can we keep going on this? Because yeah. I'm curious. So, one thing that I hate, but I don't know how to deal with, is, you know, I'm around women, as, like, anybody, all the time.
Right.
And especially in, you know, evening social settings, like, women will be dressed nicely, and oftentimes that means like a revealing top, something that showcases their breasts. And even though I'm in no way like a perv staring at girls' boobs, like I can't help but like in turning my head or like my eyes will catch what I'm intended
men
to spread. Right.
That.
Like, I mean, that's the intention. And yet and maybe I'm too self-conscious about it, but like I can always tell that when that happens, when my eyes, you know, pass over a girl's boobs, like she almost always notices, and then I feel like I've now like made her uncomfortable.
I think
and
most
it's like,
women
but what am
take
I supposed to do?
Compliment
like, but no,
when
but
someone at the club is checking them out. Is that wrong?
Is it? But so it's. I'm just asking. Like, do I have? Should I feel bad about it? Like, am I being judged by that woman now? Like, ugh, he totally checked out my boobs.
I mean, you're gonna.
I'm not
you're
even
gonna,
doing
anyone's,
it intentionally. I'm not
everyone's
even, like,
clocking
I'm not even,
the tits in the room. Everyone's clocking the tits in the room. Like that's just.
But
that's,
then, yeah.
I mean, it happens. Saying, it gets to a point sometimes that it happens so often, and you get so used to it that it's just kind of like whatever.
But I always feel like when it happens with me, like I notice that they've seen me do it, and then immediately I feel like they make some sort of like very clear. And maybe I'm just maybe girls are just like grossed out by me, but like then immediately I feel like they like whatever they have to do, like close their shirt a little bit or like change their posture, or like to avoid that happening again. And I'm always like, oh shit, did I just make them uncomfortable? Because I didn't, like, I wasn't staring at their boobs, but I couldn't help my eyes dip down there for a second because there they are. And like, and then all of a sudden I feel badly, like I've somehow made them uncomfortable. But I don't, you know, how you can know, I can't not do it. Like it's not, I'm fighting like just my human, my primal human instinct, you know, male instinct.
I mean, yeah, I think that, I mean, I think you kind of look at everyone that you see. Like I am, and I understand you're talking specifically about like grazing, you know, the boobs a little longer than
quick glance. Yeah. No, it's not even longer. It's yeah. It's the shortest possible like glance. It's like, oh, I didn't mean to look at your boobs, but I couldn't help it. And then, oh shit, you realize that I saw them.
I think
and
some
now
people
like,
feel violated by that.
We can't speak for all women. No. You know what I mean? It's just within the context within our own experiences and how we deal with it. But it could also just be like they adjust themselves because they're like, oh, I'm just being distracting and people aren't listening to what I'm saying or who I am as a person.
Interesting.
And it's just like, yeah.
What do you guys?
But I know if I am wearing a short dress, it's because I want my legs to be seen. Like I want to like do that moment. And I'm not. Why would I like? I never take offense to that. I'm like, yeah, I'm like literally wearing the shortest possible dress. So I don't know. Like I think it's all. I wouldn't. But what I would say is, I think that it's a personal relationship that each woman has with herself. And you shouldn't beat yourself up too much about it. But I think that it's nice that you think about that.
Yeah, I'm very self-conscious about like not making other people feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Even in an accidental way that like I don't mean to do, you know? But I'm just curious if that's like, as women, do you notice guys are always like...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Just like even like nice guys that you're friends with like can't help that but look at you and... in some sort of like way.
Yeah. Okay. You can. So it's not just it's me. Even like it's quick, you know, you can. Sometimes you just, like I said, I can't speak for all women, but sometimes you just kind of accept it for what it is. And you're like, oh, I have to like adjust my shirt. Okay. So they're paying attention to me again. Or I don't know.
On behalf of all of us, I'm sorry. we're trying.
Do you want to take another call?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, Moles and Please Advise crew. I'm Ash. I'm from Australia and I'm 19. And this is about a guy. He's low-key gorgeous, smart, sweet in a really subtle way, which just kills me. And we have really killer chemistry. We kind of started seeing each other about 8 months ago when we met pretty randomly but had mutual friends. And from the start, I really liked him and I went into it hopeful for a relationship because I thought he was really great, but he went into it hopeful for a friends with benefits situation, which I realized about 2 months into it. And I broke up with him then because I just didn't think I could do the just physical kind of thing, but the next 6 weeks was just really horrible, and he ended up messaging me, so we kind of got back together and have been hanging out for the last few months, and I've been growing to like him more and more, and we're just at a place where we're so comfortable with each other, and I feel like we've really grown a lot. And a couple of days ago I was talking to him about why we're not dating and why it's not happening like that, and he kind of opened up to me about this crazy fear of commitment, and it all made sense because he had a really shitty past relationship with a girl that he was really in love with, and she cheated on him, and so yeah, I know for a fact that he's not into other girls and not in a place of pursuing them, and I'm not in a place of pursuing other guys, but it just hurts to be so invested in something when he's not as into it as I am. And also our friends with benefits setup is really complicated too, because I am this virginal 19-year-old who knows that casual sex is not for her, and so we pretty much just do everything but full-blown sex, which is also hard saying no because I'm super into him, but I know that it would hurt too much. So my question is, should I break it off even though last time hurt like hell, or should I wait for this lone wolf phase of his to pass and just be patient? Thanks, guys. Please advise.
Girl, you get to decide how you are treated in a relationship. And if you're not getting what you want, then you have to do the hard thing and move away, because I don't think that you can talk yourself in to being cool with getting less than what you want and feel you deserve. That's my personal opinion.
That's not your group opinion for everyone in here?
Well, I know that there's also people that are there's a lot of people
who would just give sweeping, this is what you should or shouldn't do.
Monogamy isn't there would be that. But I'm not one of those. I think you gotta, you'll find someone better. You learn so much from each romantic encounter you have. It's okay if it ends. You will have learned so much. And I don't believe people ever really do worse. I think that you're always going, you're always going to date someone a little bit more improved than the last person that you were with.
I feel like this is tough. It's tough. I mean, I threw my virginity away at 15, as quickly as I could, just because that was my way of trying to convince myself that I was cool or, had confidence or was in some way worthy of anything. Because if a girl wanted to have sex with me, then that must mean that I've got some value. And I don't regret it, but it definitely set me off on, I think, a period of my life where sex was a lot less important to me and valuable than I'm learning now that it can be. Uh-huh. So I like that this girl's careful. I think that's important.
Oh, yeah.
More so than ever before, because people seem to I don't know, maybe it's probably the same.
Like
as
a
it's
Jonas
been,
brother. But, and I think that that's good. She's sticking to her commitment.
But
to
I mean,
herself.
I just think it's sort of bullshit, the whole guy fear of commitment thing.
No, it's he's just not that into you 101.
Right, right. If they're exclusively seeing each other, and then maybe he is that into her. Right. But I don't know. I mean, if I dated a virgin, the first girl that I was ever in love with in college, she was 19. Okay. And it drove me crazy at first because I was like, oh my God, I really want to sleep with this girl. But then I saw the opportunity. I was like, oh, wait, I can, if I commit to her and really get into this relationship, I don't know how long it will take, but what a great reward to earn her trust. No, and in a beautiful way. I was like,
right.
If I can really show her sincerely that she matters to me and gain her trust because she's a serious, strong young woman, that will be such a wonderful way to signify that sort of achievement in intimacy.
Okay.
And I did. And it was great. It led to a really wonderful, young love affair between me and this wonderful woman. And even me, as fucked up and crazy and confused as I was back then, I even saw that opportunity and recognized it and jumped on it.
Yeah.
So if this guy, because this girl seems pretty, sounds like a sort of lovely, beautiful soul, a very calm, considerate person who really thinks things through. So I don't think she's messing around with some idiot. But if he's not sort of smart enough to recognize that after this many months of dating you, I don't think that's what he wants, obviously.
Right. Yeah, no.
And so her theory of should I stick it out and maybe we'll see what happens, I don't know. I feel, yes, I think you should break it off.
A guy should be yeah, you're my girl. Like, that's what I think everyone deserves. Like, if the guy that you are with, like, has to hem and haw over whether or not he's going to be with you, like,
right, you're not,
you can't make someone change.
But the other side of it is like, and this is sort of what you said, you know, you're going to you can live your life sort of thinking that you'll only have beautiful, perfect relationships, and that maybe, you know, the first person you sleep with will be the love of your life. And I hope that's true for those of you who want that. But like, I can also say that, like you, Molly,
right,
you have to have relationships. You have to screw up. You have to make mistakes. You have to get your heart broken. All this cliche shit we've all heard a million times, like, so that you actually know what you want, what you deserve, and what you don't want. And so while I could tell this girl, you know, break up with this guy, because he doesn't appreciate you enough. If you found someone that you really care about, then go for it. Have an experience. Don't expect it to be magic, fireworks, fairy tale, happy ending. Just like, accept that this is someone who cares about you. And while they may not care about you as much as they possibly can, like, it's still a nice thing, and it still can, you can still learn from it and enjoy it. And if it lasts 6 more months or 6 more years, like, then great. I don't know.
The only reason why I've never been able to do that, like, where I've been in a situation where I want to be with someone that I'm dating and I want them to make a commitment and they don't want to give it to me, I just know that I've always felt like I traded a part of my soul. Like, that I, like, was betraying myself by engaging someone who couldn't give me what I felt I needed.
But that's the thing, like, to wait around for the one person who can give you everything that you need, right, I think it's irresponsible to yourself, because you don't even know what you need at 19 years old. Right. I mean, like, you got to learn that by having experiences where you're deprived of what you need. Like, it's a funny, weird balance where it's like, on one hand, you know what you want and you're not getting it. But on the other hand, you really don't know what you want because you've never had it. So, like, how far do you let yourself go in an experience before you remove yourself in search for something else better?
That's true. I guess there's that. Do you think that they do anal when they say everything?
I don't think so. She doesn't sound.
Doesn't sound like an anal girl.
But I did just fall in love with her.
Yeah.
Listening to that message. I mean, she sounds perfect.
Aww.
Like, this is the most beautiful, lovely young lady ever. I mean, that was the dream. That was the girl that I fell in love with in Catfish. Like, it was a sort of exotic, faraway girl who's 19, virgin. Like, it's a thing of magic. Like, this girl is, you know, the ultimate guy fantasy.
A lot of guys don't want to sleep with virgins.
No, I don't mean the virgin specifically, but like a pure heart.
Right.
Like, it's just an innocent, lovely woman who hasn't been, and I don't think the virgin thing is so much like, oh, that's hot because she's like whatever gross guys would think about it. But like, in my eyes, it just means like, you will only know my love. And so my love will be like, you can't compare it to anyone.
Right.
So it will be the best and only thing you know. Like, that, I think as a guy, that's attractive, because I can't speak for all guys, but I can conjecture that, like, I think a lot of men feel and compare themselves and feel insecure about, you know, how they are in bed,
right,
you know, and their lovemaking ability. And so to have a girl that can't compare you to anybody is sort of like a wonderful idea.
Yeah.
Because, like, whatever you do, like, they just think it's great.
Well, maybe this girl
So you can email me.
I was just going to say, she should reach out. It sounds like you're willing to give her the commitment that she's looking for.
Exactly. Do we know her name? I want to. Does she have an Instagram?
Ashley.
No Instagram.
No Instagram.
Ashley from Australia.
That's a catfish. I don't know what I'm going to do. That was a fake call. I can't let that happen to you again.
Because of you.
Next call, please.
Hi, my name's Jazz, and I have a question for me. Why do you think people still go online, on like Facebook and stuff like that, trying to find someone that's not a legitimate, you know, person. Like, I know there's, like, online, like, websites that you can go on and find someone. But why would someone go on Facebook knowing that there's probably, there's a 90% chance that they will get catfish and they'll watch the show?
So... you're yes. awesome, and yeah. I would love to you to call back, please, and give us your thoughts on a lot of different things, because you sound like someone I need to be talking to. But I think what you were asking was, why do people still go on Facebook to fall in love when they know that they could be getting catfished?
Well, yeah, or maybe just why do people still go on Facebook at all?
No, she was. I think was talking.
You think people go on Facebook to fall in love? You think that's her impression? I think
that's what she. That's yeah. Or yeah.
Right. Or why do they allow themselves to fall in love with people who they meet on Facebook?
That could be it too. Yeah.
Right.
Like, there's a lot of options.
Well, clearly, but clearly, because Jazz is a fan of the show, she recognizes that lots of people on our show meet via Facebook,
right,
or similar social media platforms that don't offer any verification as to who the person you're talking to is. And you're 100% right. Like, there is no answer. It's just a great question. Like, why do we allow ourselves to get into these romantic and, you know, engagements with people whom we don't know? And I think from my very recent experience and my less recent experience with internet romance, there's something really exciting and romantic about the mystery of internet love. And I think the less you know about someone...
You've got mail.
Right. Yeah. The less you know about someone, the more intrigued you are. Like, nothing turns me on more than a girl whose Instagram is set to private. Like, I want to... Like, if I can't look at your pictures, I want to see them more. You know what I mean? I mean... Doesn't really
because it's
me
like
on.
Oh, what's she hiding?
Well, right. It's like oh, well, no. It's not what she's hiding. It's ooh, this girl, has respect for herself and doesn't need to parade. Like she doesn't care that lots of people will or won't see her pictures or how many likes she gets. Like she does it for herself, and that suggests like a confidence and resolute sort of nature to her that like she doesn't need like prying eyes. Like she's got her own thing going and I'm not part of it. And then like, I want to get into that party. Like you want, you know, it's like, oh, there's like a velvet rope to that club and I can't just walk in and check it out. So I've got to like, I want to know who's in there. What's going on? It's like a VIP section.
I remember when I was single that I would, think that guys who didn't have Twitter were really like there was something very appealing about guys that didn't have Twitter. Like, to me, it just was like, oh, that's so, like, masculine. But we're, you know, in a world where a lot of people have to do self-promotion and, like, have that kind of presence on Instagram and can't be private. Do you judge a person for that?
No. Do I judge a person for being online?
No, for being self-promotional.
No. I mean, I do it, obviously.
Yeah.
But I think in terms of the romance of the internet, like, the less... I mean, nowadays it's so easy to find out who someone is and see the pictures of them and from, you know, on the beach over the summer and where they go to eat and, like, what kind of apartment they live in and, like, all... You can just find out everything you want to know about them and very quickly judge whether or not you're into that or not.
Right.
And I have no idea why that relates to Jasmine. But,
That's my girl, Jazz. Just start calling back with, like, all your questions. Anything that you want to talk about, just you don't even have to
maybe
ask.
But maybe the answer is I just think it's overwhelmingly that people are lonely.
Yeah,
more and more isolated because
people are fucking lonely.
Right, and so if the majority of your interactions with other human beings is on Facebook, it's impossible to avoid romantic interactions because human beings want to be romantic, and so if you're living online, you're gonna have to you know, engage in a romantic way with people.
After you were initially catfished, did you avoid online dating or any meeting people online completely?
No, I actually was meeting a lot of, I mean, not meeting, but like I was engaging with people on the internet a lot after that, which is sort of how the show was born. Right. But I've never used the internet with the intention of dating. I've never been on a dating website. I've never filled out an application or like created a profile. So I'm not part of the millions and millions of
people.
You're
not on Tinder or anything.
Right. No, I'm not. And I don't even have a personal Facebook page anymore because like it was such a huge distraction. And that's part of what I'm going through now, which is just like I've got to learn how to live my life without the constant distraction and stimulation of like social media, because it just holds me down.
Yeah, keeps, I feel that.
So it's been really hard, but like I haven't checked. Even I think it's been like a day now that I just haven't checked my social media.
Do you delete your apps?
I'm thinking about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do that once in a while. Give myself a little like.
Right. My only concern is not remembering my passwords. But I think I've got them all down. But like one thing that I just did was I'm now just leaving my cell phone on moon mode.
Uh-huh.
All the time. And so like it won't distract me. And when I have a moment, I'll look at my phone and be like, oh, I got some texts and oh, I got an email. But like, I don't need to get those things as they come in.
No, that impulse to respond immediately is like,
right.
Yeah.
And so like, even just that's been really nice for the last 2 days, just not constantly getting distracted by my phone. And then like after an hour realizing, oh, I haven't looked at my phone in an hour. Like, let's see. And oh, I got a text. Great. You know, like, but live your life.
Yes.
I mean, I haven't been living my life. I've been living a life, but like, it's very diluted by the millions of other people's lives who have sort of been, I have no idea. We can cut all this. I lost my.
No, I think I could think what you're saying is that you, sometimes you just get caught up and it's you get lost a little bit and you lose
right.
yourself.
Well,
that's a very scary feeling.
Totally. And maybe what I was trying to get at is that like what social media platforms have given a lot of people is, oh, well, my life's unsatisfying. So if I can accumulate little tiny pieces of lots of other people's lives that are more interesting than mine, it will give me the same satisfaction of actually living that life when I'm not.
Right.
And that's dangerous because reading lots of other people's tweets and seeing their pictures of their vacations and like hearing what they're doing does not replace doing those things. Mm-hmm. And so I think for me, because I am lucky that I get to go places and I have this great job, like I use social media more for like the emotional fill in. Like I'm filling in for the fact that I feel lonely and like sort of can like lost and I don't have the friend community that I wish I did because I'm never around in one place
right.
long enough to actually have a group of friends. So like the social media purpose of social media for me is to like sort of just keep me company.
Right.
And I need to like get out of that cycle because it's not really keeping me company. It's just distracting me. So that's what I'm trying to do now.
Well, I think that's good. And thank you for coming on and sharing with us. It's very self-aware of you to like come to that point. A lot of people need to hit a real wall before they have that sort of realization. So good for you for giving yourself that time. And that's really great.
Thanks.
You guys can call us with your updates, 323-450-7408. Email us at askpleaseadvise@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all those things. Just Google Please Advise. You'll find us. Go to soundcloud.com/pleaseadvise. Listen to older episodes of our show. And, of course, you can subscribe on iTunes. We love that. iTunes subscribers. We're going to get that Nature Box money. It's got to start coming in. Sriracha cashews. I'm not paying for any of that. I just want them to come to my house. All right. Nave, thank you so much for coming on. Do you Rotten Catfish and your book In Real Life, which I read the first four chapters of and left on a beach. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's all right.
But I bought it.
Thanks.
Yeah.
The only thing I would want to let people know about is that I also have a podcast.
Oh, that's right.
Where I talk
you have
about
a new podcast.
Sort of life and catfish and relationships and anything that kind of pops up. So if you're on SoundCloud, you can check it out. It's, is it In Real Life Podcast? I think it's In Real Life Podcast.
You probably know the name of your own
podcast. But it's called IRL. Like right. You can hear on iHeartRadio and iTunes, I think it's just called IRL with Neve. But the domain on SoundCloud might be In Real Life Podcast.
Okay, cool. Well, I'm a big
you'll repost some. Yeah. Yeah, well, yeah. I'll repost you. You repost me.
We'll do a little link.
Maybe
share.
You'll come on and be a guest.
I would love that. Totally. Yeah. I'm promote my new book, The Alcoholic Bitch Who Ruined Your Life, which comes out again on May 12th, I believe.
That's soon.
Pre-sale will be up very soon. Yeah, the cover's like sickening. So, and you know, the words are pretty good too. All right. Talk to you guys next week. Bye, Nate. Bye. Thank you.